بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we spoke about our mother, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And we started by talking about who she is, her name, her lineage, her birth in Mecca, her upbringing, and her marriage at a young age to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how she got married to him. Also talking about her marriage, refuting those who attack this marriage and criticize it. And we also looked at why this marriage was actually important for the ummah at large. And we're going to be, talking more about that, looking more into that today, inshallah ta'ala. And then we spoke about one of the greatest trials, in fact, the greatest trial that Aisha radiallahu anha went through in her life, and that was what is known as the story of the ifk, or the outrageous slander that she herself narrated. We went through that story, and the reason why we went through that story last week is because it was a longer story, and there are a lot of lessons from it. And so today we want to go through other glimpses and incidents in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. So what we're going to do today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to go through other glimpses from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. Showing us what kind of life she lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, her personal life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us a lot about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? It's not just lessons for sisters to learn from, her behavior, but also for men to learn how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his wives. And so we start when Aisha radiallahu anha was young. When she was young, her favorite pastime was playing with dolls. And so once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her playing with a winged horse. So he asked her, "What is this?" She said, "It was a horse with wings." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do horses have wings?" So she said that Sulaiman alayhi salam, did he not have horses that had wings? And so this incident, it reveals and shows us how intelligent and brilliant Aisha radiallahu anha was from a young age. She must have heard something from the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and right away she brought that up. Now, On another occasion, it was the day of Eid, and Aisha radiallahu anha had two young girls who were with her singing some poetry that the Ansar, the people of Medina, used to sing prior to Islam. And they were using the daf, which is the, it's like a drum, but this is the only, you know, instrument that, you know, is permissible in Islam. So when the Prophet ﷺ came in and he saw and they saw him, they were kind of shy of him. So the Prophet ﷺ turned away from them, and then he went to another side of the house, and he laid down with his back to them, and he covered himself with a blanket. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he came to meet his daughter and the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Eid. So when he came in and he saw the two girls with the duff in their hands, he got angry. And he said, an instrument of shaitan in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard him and he turned to him and he said, "Leave them. Today is the day of Eid. Let us enjoy so that the Jews know that there is fun in our religion." Right? Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching the Ummah an important lesson, and that is that, you know, our deen is not just about, you know, ibadah and worshipping and learning and, you know, serious stuff, which is good. But there's also, you know, times we can enjoy ourselves. And so this was the day of Eid, and the Prophet ﷺ was saying, let us enjoy this day. On another day of Eid, the Prophet ﷺ was at home, and he heard some voices in the masjid. And the homes of the Prophet ﷺ, they were basically, small rooms that were attached to the masjid. So there's just a wall between his homes, in which his wives used to live in, and the masjid. So he heard some voices in the masjid, so he looked over the wall. And there were some men, Abyssinian men from Habasha, who were playing with their spears. You know, there was a particular game that these people used to play. So they were, playing with their spears, and the people had gathered around to watch them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to Aisha radiallahu anha and he asked her, "Do you want to watch?" She said yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked her up and put her on his back, and she was watching. After some time, he asked her, "Is that enough? You know, have you had enough?" So she says no. So after some time, again the Prophet ﷺ asks, "Are you satisfied? Do you want to come down?" She said no. So he kept on asking until finally she said yes. She says, "He kept on asking until I finally said yes, while I had already had enough from some time ago. But I wanted to know my status with him. I wanted to know how special I was to him. And for my co-wives to hear about that, so that they know how special I am to him. So that they know how special I am to him," sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we spoke about how beloved Aisha radiallahu anha was to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, And we're going to talk more about that today. You know, he had a love for her that he didn't have for anyone else. And here she wanted to boast about that. Right? So that's why she did this. In another incident, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she says, we set out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one of his journeys until we reached a place called Al-Bayda. And I had a necklace that was broken and I lost it. This necklace was, it actually belonged to her sister Asma radiallahu anha. Asma was older than her. So anyways, she says, as a result, the Prophet ﷺ decided to stay there to search for this necklace, and everyone had to stay back now. But there was no water in this place. So the people went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, don't you see what Aisha has done? She made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people to stay here where there's no water, and we have no water with us. We've ran out of water. So Abu Bakr went to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he arrived, he found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asleep with his head on the thigh of the of Aisha radiallahu anha. So he saw me, she says, Aisha says, he saw me and he said, this is the father of Aisha, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said to me, he was angry. He said, you have held back the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people in a place where there's no water and we have no water with us. And he kept on, you know, admonishing me. She says, he said whatever Allah willed for him to say, and he started poking me on my side. She says, I didn't move only because the Prophet's head was in my lap. She says, and then the Prophet ﷺ got up, and now it was Fajr. So what are they going to do now? They have no water. How are they going to make wudu? How are they going to pray? She says, there was no water and it was Fajr time. So Allah revealed the ayat of tayammum. Allah revealed those ayat in the Quran that tell us that when there is no water, we should do tayammum. And so everyone ended up doing tayammum. One of the companions, Usayd ibn Hudayr, he said to them, O family of Abu Bakr, this is not the first blessing of yours. Meaning that as a result of Aisha radiallahu anha, as a result of this incident, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave us a concession. Right? He revealed a new ruling that is going to stay in our deen until the Day of Judgment. That when you don't have water, you do tayammum. This was as a result of the blessing of Aisha radiallahu anha. So anyways, what ended up happening is they went to the camel. They're getting ready to leave. They couldn't find the necklace. The camel gets up and the necklace was right under the camel. On another occasion, this was towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went for the farewell Hajj. The farewell Hajj, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she went with them. On the way, now everyone was going to do an Umrah along with a Hajj. Everyone was going to do Umrah and Hajj. So first they get to Mecca, they do their Umrah, and then they come out of their Ihram, and then they wait until the days of Hajj, and then they perform Hajj with a new Ihram. So Aisha radiallahu anha, what ended up happening is, that on the way, her period came. So now she could no longer do Umrah because she can't make tawaf around the Kaaba. So while you're in that state, you cannot make tawaf. You could do everything else from the rituals of Hajj, but not tawaf. So now she couldn't do the Umrah. So after Hajj, it's now time to leave back to Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ came to her and he found her crying. He asked her, "What's wrong?" She said, "All of my friends are going back having done Hajj and Umrah, while I am going back only having done Hajj." So the Prophet ﷺ asked her, "Do you want to perform Umrah?" She said, "Yes." By now, obviously, she's out of her period. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered her brother, Abdurrahman, to go with her to Tan'im. Tan'im is basically the boundary of the haram. And that is where you go. You have to leave the haram boundary to get back into the state of ihram. So she went there. She went into the state of ihram. And then she went with her brother to make umrah. And then after that, she came back and they all left back to Medina. Today, there is a masjid at that same location. And it is called Masjid Aisha. It is called Masjid Aisha. And, you know, whoever wants to perform Umrah, that's where they go. Like, if you're already in Mecca and you want to perform Umrah and you're not in the state of Ihram, everyone basically goes there and they put on their Ihram from there and then they go and make their Umrah. And then we have the relationship between Aisha and the Prophet ﷺ in terms of how close they were. The Prophet ﷺ once said to Aisha, "I know when you are happy with me and when you are upset with me. I know when you are happy with me and when you are upset with me." So she asked, you know, how? He said to her, "When you are happy with me, you say, 'By the Lord of Muhammad.'" You know, if you were to, you know, swear by Allah, you would say, "Bi Rabbi Muhammad," by the Lord of Muhammad. "And when you're upset with me, you say, 'By the Lord of Ibrahim.'" By the Lord of Ibrahim. Obviously, Allah is one. The Lord of Ibrahim or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or anyone, it's the same thing. So she said, "Yes." She said, "That's true." She said, "By Allah, it is only my tongue that, you know, boycotts you. You know, I would never do anything beyond that. You know, if I'm angry with you, I won't stay away from you. I won't, do anything else. That's the furthest I would go." And this shows us, how she would be very careful about how she would deal with her emotions in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we have examples from the what is known as the ghayra of Aisha radiallahu anha. This natural feeling in women to be jealous over their husbands. And obviously, she was one of his many wives. Even though she was the most special, the most beloved to him, still, she, you know, would have that feeling, which is a natural feeling. And we mentioned previously, when we spoke about the story of Khadija radiallahu anha, how Aisha radiallahu anha says that, you know, there was no wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she was more jealous over than Khadija, even though she never saw her. Khadija radiallahu anha passed away long before Aisha radiallahu anha came on the scene. But because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to mention Khadija radiallahu anha, and without a doubt, she was the most beloved of his wives to him. And then second comes Aisha radiallahu anha. So one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home at night and he went to sleep. When it was late into the night, Aisha radiallahu anha got up and it was dark. Obviously, there were no lights. It was dark, and she got up, and she couldn't find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam next to her. You know, she went to sleep, he was next to her, and now she's looking for him, and he's not there. So she's looking around with her hands, and her hand ends up touching his hair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just happened to turn over while he was sleeping. That's all that happened. He was there, but he wasn't like right next to her. So she touched his head and he ends up waking up. He feels her hand on his head and he says to her, "Your shaitan has come to you. Your shaitan has come to you." So I asked, Aisha says, I asked, "Don't you have a shaitan?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, but Allah helped me with him. Allah made me overcome him. So my shaitan has submitted to me." Not the opposite where, you know, shaitan has overpowered me. No, I have overpowered my own shaitan. So basically here, Aisha radiallahu anha, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, that, you know, your shaitan has come to you? Basically, she was thinking that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left to go and be with another wife, right? So that's what she was worried about. And we're going to see this again. We're going to see it again. So the same thing happened on another night. She looked around for him, but she couldn't find him. She says, "Then I noticed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not there. And I thought that he had gone to one of his other wives. So I looked around for him. I reached out with my hands and my hand touched his feet. And he was either in the state of sujood or ruku'. And he was saying, 'Subhanaka wa bihamdik la ilaha illa ant.'" So the Prophet ﷺ was praying Qiyamul Layl. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, "I said, 'May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. You were doing one thing and I was thinking something else.'" You were doing one thing while I was thinking something else. Meaning that here the Prophet ﷺ is, you know, busy in salah, doing something good, while Aisha radiallahu anha, she was thinking that, you know, he was cheating her and, you know, he left to go be with another wife. Again, the same thing happens on a third night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came at night and went to sleep. Aisha radiallahu anha says, she narrates this incident. She says, "When it was my night, when he was with me, he came back from Isha, Salah. He put his sandals by his feet, and he spread the edge of his izar, which is the lower garment, on his bed." She says, "He stayed until he thought that I had gone to sleep. Then he put on his sandals slowly. He picked up his cloak slowly. Then he opened the door slowly and went out slowly." So she says, as soon as he left, I covered my head, I put on my clothes, I put on my jilbab, then I followed him until he arrived at Al-Baqiyya. Al-Baqiyya is the graveyard. And, you know, in those days, it was considered on the outskirts of Medina. Today, it's because of the expansion of the masjid, it's right outside the masjid. The graveyard where all the companions are buried, and it's known as Al-Baqiyya. She says, he raised his hands three times and stood there for a long time, making dua. Then he started making his way back. She says, I started moving quickly. And he also started moving quickly. And then he ran, and I also ran. She says, I came into the house. I put myself back in bed. And he comes in. And he sees my heart basically beating very fast. And he says, oh, Aisha, tell me. Otherwise, Al-Alim Al-Khabir will tell me. Either you tell me or Allah will tell me. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sleeping. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, either you tell me or Allah will tell me. So then Aisha radiallahu anha, she told him the whole story. You know, she said, I saw you leaving slowly, and I was awake, and, you know, I followed you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, so you were that black shape that I saw in front of me? I said, yes. Then he gave me a nudge on my chest, and he said, did you think that Allah and His Messenger would deal unjustly with you? Meaning, did you think that, you know, I would deal with you unjustly and go to someone else on your night? So then Aisha says, I said, whatever the people conceal, Allah knows it. So then, after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel came to me. So he was telling her what actually happened, why he left. He said, Jibreel came to me when I saw you, but he did not enter because you were not fully dressed. So even Jibreel would not, you know, come to the Prophet ﷺ if one of his wives were uncovered. So he says, he called me, but he concealed that from you, meaning you could not hear him, and I answered him. But I concealed that from you too. Meaning, Jibreel came and, you know, he called the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ responded, but, you know, he made sure that Aisha radiallahu anha did not know what's happening. He says, the Prophet ﷺ says, I thought that you had gone to sleep and I didn't want to wake you up. And I was afraid that, you know, you would become frightened. So he told me to go to Al-Baqi' and pray for the people who are buried there. You know, ask Allah to forgive them. So I asked, O Messenger of Allah, what should we say? Meaning, when we visit the graveyards, what should we say? So he said, say, and he mentioned the dua of what we say when we visit the graveyards. Assalamu alaikum, ahl al-diyari, min al-muslimin wal-mu'minin, until the end of the dua. And so this shows us again, you know, that jealousy that Aisha radiallahu anha had. And again, we see, you know, up close some of the interactions that the Prophet ﷺ had with her. These are some glimpses from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, some interesting stories. Now let us look at something that we mentioned last week, the intelligence of Aisha and her knowledge and her inquisitive nature. You know, we mentioned last week that Aisha radiallahu anha, she had the mind of a scholar. She was very bright, very intelligent, and she was very inquisitive in nature. You know, she describes herself. She says that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would immediately follow it. So they would, learn the hadith, and they would immediately implement it. They wouldn't question. They wouldn't ask questions. She says, while I would ask the Prophet ﷺ questions about it. And this is because he was, you know, she was his wife, and she was the most beloved to him. So she had this informal relationship with him. And so she would question him, while the others, they were very respectful, and they would not dare question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we mentioned last week that someone who had this intimate relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was needed, so that she could ask him these questions about certain statements that he would make. And sometimes, you know, she would even argue in a respectful way, obviously, but no one else could afford to do that. But what was the result of that? The result of that is that we learned so much about Islam from that. Right? We learned so much from that. And this is what makes Aisha radiallahu anha one of the top scholars of Islam of all time. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha narrated to us 2,210 ahadith. 2,210 ahadith. And she is the fifth top narrator of hadith from among the companions. So the number one is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, then Abdullah ibn Umar, then Anas ibn Malik, then Abdullah ibn Abbas, and then number five is Aisha radiallahu anha. So let's look at the kinds of questions that she would ask. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever, on the Day of Judgment, whoever is given the hisab, meaning the reckoning, the account on the Day of Judgment, he will be punished. So the hisab is the questioning or the account on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever goes through that hisab, من حوسب يوم القيامة عذب, he will be punished. So look at what Aisha radiallahu anha does. Now, the other companions, they would not object. They would say, okay, fine. But now Aisha, something else is going on in her mind. She's thinking of an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Whoever is given their book of deeds in their right hand, Allah says, they will be given an easy reckoning, an easy hisab. So for her, this was a contradiction, right? You know, how can it be that someone who goes through a hisab on the Day of Judgment, how is he going to be punished when Allah here is saying that, you know, those who are given their record in their right hands, they're going to have an easy hisab? So she asks the Prophet ﷺ, how is that possible when Allah says this? So then the Prophet ﷺ said to her, O Aisha, that is not the hisab that I'm talking about. That, what Allah mentions in the Quran, is the Allah presenting to his servant his believing servant, his deeds, right? He said, إِنَّمَا ذَاكَ الْعَرْضِ. So on the Day of Judgment, there will be two kinds of questioning by Allah. One is Allah will take the believers and say, this is what you did in the world. You did X, Y, and Z. Right? And you're standing there and you're acknowledging it, saying yes. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in another hadith that until the end, you know, when the servant thinks that's it, you know, he's done. You know, look at all my sins, I'm finished. Then Allah says to him, you know, I hid your sins in the dunya and today I will forgive you. So this is the believer, where Allah presents to him, you know, his deeds. And then he said, as for the one who is interrogated, then he is the one who will be punished. So the Prophet ﷺ clarified for her that no, there's no contradiction here. But what he meant was something different than what Allah was talking about. And that is for the kafir, that Allah will, you know, not just present to them their good deeds, but he will interrogate them. And, you know, they are the ones who will be punished. On another occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the ayah, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ in Surah Ibrahim. Allah says, on the day when the earth will be changed to a different earth, and the heavens will be changed, we won't be on the same earth. So again, look at her mind and where it goes. She says, O Messenger of Allah, then where will the people be on that day? You know, if we're not going to be on this earth, where are we going to be? The Prophet ﷺ said, عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ on the Sirat, on the bridge. And this is in Sahih Muslim. On another occasion, and this is also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that the people will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, again, look at where her mind goes. She says, O Messenger of Allah, will the men and the women be together on that day? You know, if we're naked, won't they be looking at us? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, the matter will be too serious for anyone to be looking at one another. Meaning, everyone will be in a state of terror, in a state of horror, that, you know, they're only concerned about themselves. They're not concerned about anyone else or looking at anyone else. And then there's this incident. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. A woman once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking about ghusl. So the bath that you take after the period. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her what to do, how to make ghusl. And then he said, you know, at the end when you're done, purify yourself with a piece of cloth scented with perfume, with musk. So that's all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right? So the woman, she asked, how should I purify myself with it? You know, what am I supposed to do with it? So the Prophet ﷺ said, just purify yourself with it. She said, how? Now the Prophet ﷺ didn't want to go into the details of what to do, you know, because one of his characteristics was that he was very shy. Right? He was very shy, and you know, this is something embarrassing. You know, you don't talk about these details with women. So he said, Subhanallah, just purify yourself with it. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she was there. She says, I pulled the woman to me, and then I explained to her what to do. I said, wipe away the traces of the blood with it. Right? So, again, look at, you know, her, you know, how she reacted to this situation with, you know, such wisdom and intelligence. Also, we have the famous hadith of what do we say on Laylatul Qadr? We have learned what to say based on a question that Aisha radiallahu anha asked. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, if I was to witness Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? You know, in my salah, in my dua, what should I say on Laylatul Qadr? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are the one who pardons and you love pardoning, so pardon me, so forgive me. Again, you know, if she was not to ask that question and the Prophet ﷺ was not to respond, how would we learn, you know, what to say on that very special night? Also, you know, from the previous story that we mentioned, when Aisha followed the Prophet ﷺ to the graveyard, Al-Baqi', and he explained to her at the end why he went, and at the end of the whole incident, you know, look, you know, even though she was in an embarrassing situation, still, she asked a question. You know, she asked a question. You know, she was someone who wanted to seek knowledge. So what did she say at the very end of that story? She said, so you went there, you made dua. What should we say when we go and visit the graveyard? What should we say when we go and visit the graveyard? Right? And this is where we learn the dua of what we say when we visit the graveyard. As-salamu alaykum. أهل الديار من المؤمنين والمسلمين يرحم الله المستقدمين منا والمستأخرين وإنا إن شاء الله بكم للاحقون. In a hadith in Abu Dawood, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam laugh fully to such an extent that I could see his tonsils, like he wouldn't open up his mouth and laugh like that. She says he would only smile, and when he saw clouds or wind, his face would show signs of fear. So I asked him, O Messenger of Allah, when the people see the clouds, they rejoice, hoping that, you know, this cloud is bringing rain. And I noticed that when you see a cloud, there is fear or dislike in your face. So he said, O Aisha, what gives me safety from the fact that it might contain a punishment? There were a people who were punished by the wind. When those people saw the punishment, they said, this is a cloud which is coming to give us rain. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people of Ad in Surah Al-Ahqaf, how when they saw this cloud coming, they said, oh, this cloud is bringing us rain. But Allah tells us that that was the punishment that destroyed them. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha was also a major reference after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have to understand that she was only 18 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. She was young. She was only 18 when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So now, after spending that much time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and having gained the knowledge that she did from him, she became the reference point. You know, whenever the companions wanted to verify something, a hadith, a certain ruling, they would come to her. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, who was one of the leading scholars among the companions, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he says, whenever there was a hadith that, you know, we disputed over or we did not understand, we would go to Aisha and she would resolve it for us. She would explain it to us. And look at this story where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anh. And Abdullah ibn Umar was the kind of companion who was very, very keen over doing good deeds and taking every opportunity. Whenever he would hear a hadith, he would immediately implement it. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, he narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays the janazah, whoever prays a janazah over a dead Muslim, he will get the reward equal to one qirat. And the Prophet ﷺ explained, he said, one qirat is similar to now Uhud. And the mountain of Uhud in Medina is a huge, massive mountain. So reward equal to that. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever then after that follows the janazah until the person is buried, then he will get two qirats. He will get two qirats. So when Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, when he heard this, he couldn't believe it. Because it was his first time hearing this hadith and this reward. So he asked Abu Huraira, are you sure you heard this from the Prophet ﷺ? He said, yes. So then he sent a message to Aisha asking her about this hadith. So look at how she was a reference point. He sent asking her about this hadith and he was so nervous. You know, he feels that, you know, he's missed out on so many rewards. And he had pebbles in his hand. And then the messenger came back and said, Aisha radiallahu anha has confirmed that yes, the Prophet ﷺ did indeed say this. So then he threw the pebbles and he said, in that case, we have missed many qirat. We have missed many qirats, meaning that he was regretful that, you know, he missed so many opportunities to gain a lot of hasanat and reward. But the lesson here is that Ibn Umar radiallahu anh trusted the report of Aisha radiallahu anha. He didn't say, well, you know, let's investigate further, let's go and ask so-and-so, let's go and ask Abu Bakr or Umar or, you know, some of the other companions. He said that as long as Aisha radiallahu anha has confirmed it, then for me it's resolved, right? So this shows us how she was, you know, a leading scholar from among the companions and, you know, she was a reference point. And people would also travel long distances to Medina just to narrate from her. And so after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, for most of her life, the rest of her life, she remained in Medina. And so she would sit at her home and she would have a curtain drawn in front of her. And then she would narrate a hadith. Whoever would come, she would narrate a hadith. And she would answer questions. And this is how her knowledge was preserved. So the Tabi'un, the next generation, they took all of these ahadith from the companions and then they narrated it to the next generation. And Aisha radiallahu anha was one of the leading narrators of hadith. As for her ibadah, Aisha radiallahu anha, it was not just that she was a person of knowledge, but she was also a person who would put that knowledge to practice. So she used to fast, you know, voluntary fasting. She would fast throughout the year. And she would pray. Qiyamul Layl. And she, you know, she was, you know, not just a scholar, but a scholar who puts their knowledge to action. And she would also give in sadaqah. Being brought up in the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we know the generosity of Abu Bakr and how he would give all of his wealth in sadaqah, and then after that spending time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So once, and this is in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a goat was slaughtered and Aisha radiallahu anha gave it all away in sadaqah. She distributed it except for the shoulder. She kept the shoulder. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, that was the part of the animal that he used to love the most. He used to like eating the shoulder. So he asked her, what happened with the goat? She said, I gave it all away except for the shoulder. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, the only thing that remains is the shoulder. The only thing that remains is the shoulder. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, no. All of it has remained except for the shoulder. All of it has remained except for the shoulder. Meaning that what you gave in sadaqah, that is what remains. Meaning that is what we have. That is what you have kept for yourself. Meaning that whatever we give in sadaqah, you know, it's the reward that we are gaining. Right? So he's saying you should have given even the shoulder. And once, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, her nephew, who is her nephew? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam, the famous companion, he married Asma. We mentioned Asma earlier. She's the elder sister of Aisha. So she had a son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the famous companion, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So this is the nephew of Aisha. He once came and gave Aisha radiallahu anha 100,000 dirhams. 100,000 dirhams. What did she do with it? She went and she distributed all of it. By the evening, all of it was gone. And it so happened that she was fasting that day. So her servant came to her and she said, you should have kept something, you know, at least a dirham, a few dirhams, so that we could have bought you something to break your fast with. So Aisha radiallahu anha says to her, if only you had reminded me. Meaning, she forgot. And she says, if only you had reminded me, I would have done so. But now, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anha, he heard about what she did. That she gave away everything that he had come and gifted to her. And he became angry. He became upset. That, you know, this is a huge amount of money. I wanted you to benefit from it. I wanted you to use it. So when she found out that he got angry, she took an oath that she will never talk to him ever again. Because, you know, how can you criticize me for doing a good deed? You know, giving sadaqah. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he was in a problem now. This is his aunt. And, you know, he can't speak to her ever again. So he tried sending people, you know, to try to convince her to, you know, to change her mind. Nothing worked. Finally, he got two of the tabi'een, the students of Aisha radiallahu anha, Masruq and Miswar. These two tabi'een, they would often come and visit Aisha and ask her to narrate a hadith and whatnot. So he went with them. He said, let's go. I want the two of you to go and ask her permission to enter. So they went, and when they got there, they asked her permission to enter. She said, yes, enter. They asked all of us. She said, yes, all of you. Abdullah ibn Zubair was hiding, you know, under the garments of one of them. So she said, yes, all of you. She had no idea that there was a third person there. So they entered. And so they enter the home, but then there is a curtain between her and them. Now that he's inside of her house, because if he went alone, she would say, no, I'm not speaking to you, right? So now that he got into the house, he went behind the curtain because obviously, you know, he is her mahram. He went behind the curtain and he hugged her and he apologized and he asked her to forgive him. And she did. But because she took an oath, she had to, you know, give a kafara, expiation. So what did she do? She freed 40 slaves. She freed 40 slaves. And so Aisha radiallahu anha, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she went on to live another 47 to 48 years, mostly in Medina, and she passed away at her home in Medina after an illness, and that was on the 17th of Ramadan of the year 58 after the Hijrah, and she was 66 or 67 years old at the time, and it was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu prayed, who led the janazah, and she was buried in Baqi'. She was buried in Baqi'. As for the Prophet ﷺ, he was buried in her apartment, right? And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anh passed away, he was buried next to the Prophet ﷺ. He is her father. But then when Umar radiallahu anhu was passed away, he was brought and he was buried next to Abu Bakr. From that day onwards, Aisha radiallahu anha would cover herself in her own home because Umar radiallahu anhu was there and he is not a mahram for her. Obviously, she didn't have to do that. He's dead, right? But, you know, she did it nonetheless. All right, we conclude with the virtues of Aisha radiallahu anha, her fada'il, you know, what makes her special. We have already seen a lot of things that make Aisha radiallahu anha special, but we also have certain explicit statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, who is the most beloved of all people to you? You know, who is the most beloved person to you? Without any hesitation, he said Aisha. You know, he didn't say Abu Bakr or Umar. Without any hesitation, he said Aisha. Then he was asked, and from among the men, he said her father, meaning Abu Bakr. And in Sahih Bukhari, Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the superiority of Aisha over all other women is like the superiority of Thareed, which is a kind of dish, which is mixed with bread and meat and broth. So he said, it is like the superiority of this dish over all other kinds of dishes and food. So it is, the best dish, likewise Aisha, compared to all other women. Besides these two ahadith, we already mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha radiallahu anha. This counts among her virtues that makes her stand out among the other wives. The fact that, she came to him in a dream. You know, we mentioned this last week. Jibreel said to the Prophet ﷺ that this is your wife in the dunya and the akhirah. This didn't happen with any other of his wives. Also, the fact that she was the only wife that the Prophet ﷺ married who had not been previously married. Also among her virtues is that the Prophet ﷺ would not receive wahi, he would not receive revelation in the bed of any of his wives apart from Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ said to Salama, his other wife, he said to her, "O Salama, do not bug me, do not bother me concerning Aisha. For by Allah, the revelation has never come to me under the blanket of any of you women, besides her." Besides her. There was a story behind this, basically. You know, the companions would come and give gifts to the Prophet ﷺ on the day that it was that he was with Aisha, because, you know, she was the most beloved wife to him. They knew that. So they would come and give gifts on her day. So some of the other wives, they got jealous and, you know, they had Salama go and, you know, bring the case to the Prophet ﷺ and say, you know, why don't you tell the people to give gifts on our days? So that's when the Prophet ﷺ said this, that, you know, she's special. The revelation from Allah, it comes to me while I'm in that bed and not in the bed of any of you. Also, she was the only wife who had more nights than any other of his wives. As we know, in Islam, if there is polygamy, the man has to treat the wives equally. So, although, you know, if his heart inclines more towards one wife, that's not something he can control. As we can see in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, he can't control, you know, who he loves more, but he has to act justly in terms of spending on them, spending time with them. Each of his wives had one night, except for Aisha. But why did that happen? It wasn't the Prophet ﷺ who gave her an extra night. It was Sauda, his other wife, Sauda, radiallahu anha. And we're going to talk about her life as well. Sauda, radiallahu anha. She saw how much the Prophet ﷺ loved Aisha, so she gave up her night to Aisha. And she was an elder woman. She gave up her night for Aisha, radiallahu anha. Also, among the virtues of Aisha radiallahu anha is that the Prophet ﷺ passed away in her house, on her day, in her arms, and he was buried in her home. And also, two very special things happened. Number one, we're talking about at the time of the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Number one, her brother Abdurrahman came to visit, and the Prophet ﷺ saw him with a miswak. So the Prophet ﷺ started to look at the miswak. He was ill, he was on his deathbed. So Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Do you want it?" He said, "Yes." So she took it, and then she put it in her mouth. She was fixing it up for the Prophet ﷺ, and then she gave it to him for the Prophet ﷺ to use. So, what is special about this? It was her saliva that last mixed with the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ, and so this is among her virtues. The second incident is that the very last moment of the life of the Prophet ﷺ was while his head was in the lap of Aisha. He breathed his last while he was in her lap. Imam al-Dhahabi, the famous scholar, he says that he mentions the hadith where the soul of a prophet leaves its body in the place that that prophet loves the most. He says, so it is proven that the Prophet ﷺ died in his most favorite place, meaning the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and then that is also where he was buried. Also, what makes Aisha radiallahu anha special, as we mentioned, her intelligence and the knowledge that she gained. And so there's no comparison between her and other female companions. You know, the only other female companion close to her, or next after her in terms of narrating a hadith, is Salama, who only narrated some 380 a hadith. 380 a hadith, compared to Aisha, who narrated, as we mentioned, 2,210. In fact, all of his wives combined, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, all of their narrations combined only come to about 400 a hadith, excluding Aisha. And Hisham ibn Urwa, he was a prominent narrator of hadith. He says, I have never seen anyone who could have knowledge of an ayah or an obligatory act or a sunnah or poetry or history or lineage or medicine better than Aisha. So I once asked her, what about medicine? How did you learn medicine? You know, imagine she even had knowledge of medicine. So she was asked, you know, how did you learn it? She said, when I was sick, the Prophet ﷺ prescribed treatment for me, as he did when people would become ill. And I would also hear people prescribing treatment to one another, so I memorized those prescriptions. And so these are some of the virtues of Aisha radiallahu anha that make her special. Finally, we spoke about Khadija radiallahu anha, and we mentioned her virtues, and we mentioned how she was, you know, the most beloved to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned her being one of the four best women of all time, right? We mentioned that hadith. So now the question is, after we've learned about the virtues of Aisha radiallahu anha, which one is better? Who is better, Khadija or Aisha? Khadija, anyone else? So the scholars have actually debated this question. Some said it is Khadija, some said it is Aisha. Ibn Taymiyyah, he comes to a nice conclusion. He says, Khadija radiallahu anha was better than Aisha with respect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning, she was better for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam personally. But Aisha was better than Khadija with respect to the Ummah in general. How? Khadija radiallahu anha was more beneficial to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he needed support, when he was in Mecca, right? When he was all alone and his people were rejecting him. And so she stood and she was his main support. But then Aisha, she lived on after the death of the Prophet ﷺ and benefited the Ummah with her many narrations and her knowledge. Something that Khadija radiallahu anha did not do, right? So in this way, we're able to reconcile the two. And in this way, each one is, you know, better in her own way. And Allah knows best. We'll stop here, and inshallah next week we'll move on to another one of the mothers of the believers. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.